This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
KKFT, it's the Monica J Show on 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines already going hot and heavy, 884-9910. Whatever you want to talk about today, 884-9910. I do have special guests coming up with me in a little bit that I know we are a military community. We are a military-loving community. You've seen that with the upstart about, oh gosh, what, almost a decade, a little bit over that now, of honor flight and our military bases. Well, I'm going to shock you in the next segment. So please stick around and be ready for that and be ready to make calls because I know you're going to call on that. You can also send me an email at monica@991fmtalk.com. Anything that you'd like to talk about today, because we're going all over Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley along for the ride as well. Like I said, we're just taking over. I find it interesting when I mention things that, boy, things get done quickly, and it all depends on what governing body you're going after or you're going with. So the other day I was complaining that the homeless issue or the vagrant issue or the I'm just going to squat wherever I want issue was getting even closer to home, because as I was driving home last week, turned on to the Plum on-ramp heading south on I-580, and there were encampments. There was one up on the overbridge that is the off-ramp for the airport. How they got up there, I don't know. It's so steep, but they had everything tarped off, and there was a tent down on the ground, shopping carts, and I'm like, wow, that was fast just overnight. Now we have it here. It just keeps spreading south. But you see, that's an NDOT property. Yeah, that's different. So I saw this on Thursday, talked about it on Friday. Monday of this week, it was gone. NDOT works fast. City of Reno, Washoe County, I don't know what to tell you. But I now notice that as I was heading west on I-80, going out to the opening of the very first in the nation Trump victory campaign office, that all of the encampments that were on the freeway underneath the overpasses are now in the walkway on the other side of the fence. So once again, NDOT coming in and saying, can't be here. Not safe. Not safe for you, not safe for the drivers, not safe because carbon monoxide building up. So they're gone. Not too far, they're just on the other side of the chain link fence. But they moved. So see, things can be done. So ask yourself, who's not doing the work? QOL-reno.org, brand new hot sheet out. All you have to do is log on to their page. It's right there on the front page when you come on. QOL-reno.org. We're going to make a difference in this town. We are so close to being San Francisco and Seattle that it is just horrific in my mind. And why? Federal money. Federal dollars. The whole mindset of, they're human lives. Don't do anything. No, that's why we are doing things, because they are human lives. Whether they be nurses that fell on hard times with disability, whether they be homeless veterans, whether they be, you know, a family, a mom and her children. It doesn't matter. These are human beings and they need help. Whether they need mental help, whether they need drug and alcohol counseling, you cannot be vagrant here in Northern Nevada. So log on to QOL-reno.org. There's another project coming up. I'm not going to spill the beans on it because last time we started talking about it ahead of time, people freaked out and they started lying about it, lying about what it was and what the intention was to help people. Oh, they're going to arrest them and they're going to throw them out and they're going to manhandle them and they're going to be abused and it's just going to be a big attack. And no, those were flat out lies. But look at how fast the city of Reno Police Department reacted. And I can't even begin to tell you how many emails and texts and Facebook posts we've gotten after the fact that just say thank you. I can take my kids to Pickett Park now. And I'm not worried about going into the bathroom. Public spaces are public spaces. They're for everybody to use. Why did we spend so much money on a river trail, having it paved so people could go out and ride their bikes and walk with the kids and have a beautiful area? And now people literally jump out of the bushes at people and want money. And that's basically it. Try to give some of the people that you see that are asking for money, try to give them a bottle of water. Try to give them a bag of chips and see if it gets thrown back in your face. It's not about food. It's not about, trust me, it's not about food. It's about money so they can live the lifestyle they choose to live. Because all that assistance out there doesn't pay for drugs and alcohol. Remember the lady that was so featured out of Pickett Park? The saddest story that you've ever heard, that you've ever seen in print, that you've ever seen on television, made you cry, made you feel so bad. Oh, those people from QOL are so horrible for moving her out after she had created her encampment for 4 months, collecting a vacuum cleaner, a dresser, creating her home. Yeah, they didn't really go into a lot of detail about her and her boyfriend being heroin addicts and maybe had received help in the past, but really, that was the life that they had chosen. Remember, no matter what you read, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see, there are two sides to every story. And just so you know, because, boy, we like to reference ourselves to California, how California is coming this way, and it's the whole Californication. Remember when Governor Sisolak was in the last legislative session and he was pushing for us to be a sanctuary state, but shelved that? Well, you know that just means it's coming back in the next legislative session. California's sanctuary cities, their policy there is to release hundreds of illegals daily. Guess what happens when they are released daily from ICE, when they are released daily from custody and ICE can't deport them? They have a tendency to get tired of being harassed or where they're at, and so they come this direction. So again, it's just more problems for us here in Nevada. Tim's on the line at 884-9910. Let's go to the phone lines. Hi, Tim. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, Monica. I was just listening. Heard you talking about when we were down there at Pickett Park, talking with those.
Okay, so for everybody to know, this is Tim McGivney with QOL and Stronghold.
Yes. That's me. So I just want to want to reiterate or just expound on what you're talking about there. When we went down, one of the sad things is when we went down and talked to those two heroin addicts that were living in their tent at Pickett Park, the guy goes, "Tim?" And I go, "Hey, what's up, man?" I don't remember where I know him from, but I used to use with him and run around and be on the streets with him. And he's like, "What's up, man? What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm doing good, dude. I got off, you know, got off drugs and got off the streets and everything." He's like, "What? Really?" I was like, "Yeah, now I help people to do that." And he was like, "Dude, seriously?" And he was told me, "Man, this is the first time that I've felt hope since I've been on the streets." And I was like, "Well, I was here the other day." Wow. "You weren't here, though, but we've been coming to this park for multiple times in the last year, letting people know we'll help them get off the streets." He was like, "Well, I'm on heroin, though. It takes detoxing." And I was like, "No problem, dude. I'll help you." He's like, "What? Seriously?" I was like, "Yeah, I know programs that you can get into and detox right now." And he's like, "Dude, this is the first time that I felt hope." And they were so excited and so ready to go into the program. And then you know what happened? The other side, who hates us, who is telling everybody we want to ruin their lives and that we want to destroy the homeless, went in and got in their ear and told them that we're bad people and not to go with us and not to get the help, that it's a trick and a trap or whatever they told them. And then they got discouraged and scared and kept them on the streets, because they then believed those people or weren't sure about what was going on, because the other side went in and told them that our intentions are bad, and they scared them away from getting the help. And that really breaks my heart, because they were ready to go. And then the other side, with their love, bringing their love, went down there and told them, "Don't go with those guys. Here, you're fine here. We'll give you what you need to stay here on the streets." And now that's what they're doing.
Unbelievable. And so that is that's heartbreaking, Tim.
That story up. It really was, because I knew the guy and I was so happy that he was going to take the help. They were just waiting for someone to come along and do that. And the other side goes over there and just ruins it for him and keeps him on the street, tells him, nope, you guys are fine here on the street.
Now,
don't let Tim tell you can get off the streets.
Will you be able to go find him again and get him the help he needs?
I'm hoping to. I'm going to hope to be able to do that. I've been busy with some things. I'm going to call the officer and see where they move to. Yes, and I am going to follow up with that and just go offer it again and let them know, like, this is a real deal. You can get off the streets. I'll help you through it. And so, yes, I will be following up with them.
Okay.
I just need
that's
to find
great,
in,
because
that we know the officer.
There are beds at the shelter. There are programs you can get into. Even if you don't use QOL, there are other programs that you can get into. Don't believe the hype that, it's all about money again. We need more money. We need more money to help provide these services.
Yeah.
Some are full, but guess what? There are others that aren't. So, Tim, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the email that hopefully I'll receive shortly from Paul on what we're going to do next weekend.
That's
very
right.
Excited about that. So
Saturday morning.
Thank you so much for Saturday morning. So thank you so much for calling in and giving us that update. Tim McGivney with QOL-Reno.org and Stronghold Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Carrie this morning. Hi, Carrie. What would you like to talk about?
Hi. I'm sure you've probably plugged this a million times, but the FISH organization, which is Friends and I can't even remember what it
yes.
stands for. But on Long Street.
Friends and Service Helping.
Yeah, and they have so many services available. I've gone there, I'm technically a Californian, but I've gone there. They've helped me with food assistance, and they don't turn anybody away. And they'll help you in any program you're interested in, any kind of, whatever you're looking for. And there's a lot of people that are down and out in worse ways than I am. And, they all get help. They have shower facilities. People can get clean up. They have laundry facilities. I just can't say enough about them.
Me too. I love FISH.
Well, that's
because again, one of those agencies that relies on the public. They don't rely on that government assistance handout to keep them in business. they're doing the right thing, and so they make the decisions. When you take government money, you can't make decisions. You have to follow exactly what the government says. So, Carrie, yes, thank you so much, and don't tell anybody, but I'm one of those Californians, too. So, yeah. Well, it's a good thing for some of us.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Carrie. I appreciate it. KKFT 99.1 FM talk lines are open. Whatever you want to talk about, you know that's the rule. 884-9910. There really are no rules. Like I said, whatever you want to talk about. But I do have some special guests coming up here in just a moment, and you are not going to want to miss this. It's Monica at 991fmtalk.com and 99.1 FM Talk.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
Oh, there are other easy ways to remember us. The Monica J. Show, the live and local FM talk station of all of Northern Nevada. It's 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk as well. So, I love your emails. At Monica at 991fmtalk.com. This is how I know what's going on, what you want me to focus on, what you want me to talk about. And don't forget that if you don't hear me talking about something that you've sent me, log on to 991fmtalk.com. Check out the website and our podcasts. Maybe I mentioned it along the line on one of the other shows. So you can always listen to the shows after the fact. So I walked in to my studio not too long ago, and I see this stack of papers, actually. It's, you know, probably about 20 sheets of paper here all stapled together. And it says, rough draft, not for distribution. I'm like, well, this is interesting. This caught my eye. And I started reading, and I couldn't stop reading. And I thought to myself, well, what? This can't be real. So I have been corresponding with the gentleman who dropped it off for me. And yeah, it is real. We are a military area. We love our military. When you see something that happens for vets, people come out. They come out from everywhere. So I would like to introduce you to Jim Groth, who has been in, how long have you been in the military? How long were you in the military?
I had a 28-year career in the Army National Guard here in Nevada.
That is definitely a career. And this beautiful young lady that you brought in with you today, this is Alyssa Harrison. Alyssa, you are a spouse of a military member. A little bit closer to the microphone.
Okay. I am. I've been in the military, or my husband's been in the military for 16 years. Started out in the Navy after active duty and is now in the Nevada National Guard.
And we know that's one of the hardest things out there is being a military spouse.
This is true. And I would actually say that being an Army National Guard or a National Guard spouse, I think, is actually harder than even when we were active duty because of lack of resources. We're not attached to a large base. Our community doesn't really understand what our husbands do, why they're gone for so long, why they're mm-hmm. sometimes here, why they have other jobs. So I think that kind of adds to, I think it's a pretty difficult sometimes being a guard spouse over just a regular military spouse.
I agree with you 100% on that. Jim, give people an overview of what we're going to be talking about at 10:36. I'm going to give you an exact time because you don't want to miss this conversation.
Okay. Well, thank you, Monica, and thank you for having us in and the opportunity to come and talk about something so near and dear to our hearts. As you said, we are a military community. A lot of people don't think as much, you know, as maybe some of the more active duty base locations in California or back east in Virginia and mm-hmm. different Air Force, large Air Force bases. We have the Navy Top Gun School, obviously, here in Fallon, active duty Navy. But we have a long time history here in Northern Nevada with the Army and the Air National Guard and have been very active post-Vietnam. The unit that I belong to and the unit that is now deployed over in Afghanistan is the Medevac helicopter air ambulance unit out of Reno Stead, been active after Vietnam since about 1976, and flew medevac missions. And as you know, a lot of things changed after 9/11. The traditional Army National Guard and Air National Guard, different guard assets, are truly a reserve Minuteman force for our nation's reserve forces to deploy for war, and as a primary focus. And so when the National Guard gets deployed for war, they go under the direction of the President of the United States instead of the governor, and actively deploy, much like our several units from Nevada are currently deployed into the Middle East theater of combat. National Guard, though, we've had a domestic mission here in northern Nevada, supporting, fighting forest fires, in our medevac unit, certainly doing a lot of various search and rescue operations, high-angle rescue hoist operations in the Sierras, and providing transport and air ambulance transport, and co-working with many times with Navy Fallon in some of these rescues, and then civilian air operations here in northern Nevada. So today our focus is really the medevac unit, which I'll say once or twice during the show so that people will, I'm going to refer to it as medevac, the Detachment 1 G Company, 2nd of the 238th GSAB, is the official detachment designation for the medevac unit here in Nevada. Nevada is one of either three or four states in the union that form up a company formation and go when they deploy. They're deploying with three or four other states like they are right now in Afghanistan.
Gotcha.
And support a larger division mission. They were with the big Red 1 unit, 1st Infantry Division, in the last deployment in 2013-14, and now supporting 10th Mountain over in Afghanistan now, serving in forward operating bases there, providing medevac support in combat theater.
Okay.
So
we're going to come right back. We're the home of Fox News, you know that. But what comes next, you do not want to miss. After Fox News, it's KKFT, The Monica Jay Show on 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT, it's The Monica Jay Show on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Smith and Mason Valley. 884-9910. Even on this conversation, you know those lines are always open. And Monica at 991FMTalk.com. Joining me right now is Jim Groth. And Jim, how would you like me to introduce you? I mean, retired Army National Guard, retired.
I'm a traditional, in the Guard they call it an M-Day soldier. I'm a traditional guardsman where I was in the military from 1982 to 2011 and was what we consider in our nation a traditional Minuteman. I take very strongly the fact that I never deployed to a combat theater of war. I ended my aviation involvement in 2001. Right before 9/11, summer of 2001, and so never got to deploy with the units to war. And so I often have this battle inside my family that no, I'm not a veteran. I belonged to a great unit.
You're still a great vet.
they like to harass me about that, and we have fun teasing. But I sure have some family members and sons that have. But no, just a retired Minuteman.
And this lovely young lady right here. Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead and move the mic. It's okay. Make all those noises. People know. You should hear it when the landscapers start working outside and all you hear during the show is a leaf blower. But Alyssa Harrison, you are a wife. You're a spouse of a military man, and sometimes that can be very daunting. That's a career in itself, actually.
Oh, it is. Yeah, keeping the kids, together, keeping myself together. It's something I'm very passionate about. I've tried to reach out a lot to a lot of the spouses. This is my fourth deployment. I'm not actually the one serving, but this is my fourth that I've had to have half of my heart across the sea. And so I've tried to take that experience and that wisdom that I've gained from those deployments and try to share it with the spouses that I've come in contact with. And that does bring me a lot of joy. I enjoy that very much.
Yeah. Jim, so we have a medevac unit in Afghanistan right now that was deployed actually not too long ago. Just
September 5th.
What is going on here? Tell me the story of why you are sitting in front of me today and why you delivered all of this information to me.
Sure. We, when a unit is deploying to war, and particularly a National Guard unit, after 9/11, one of the really important things for Nevadans and our American citizens to know and understand is that really the reserve forces, whether it be the Army Reserve or Air National Guard Reserve forces, or the active duty components within the United States, they all melded together after 9/11. The resource demand was so heavy to fight and support the theaters of combat in the Middle East that guard units, what we thought of traditionally, like I said, when I was there from 82 to 2001, we really had a good time as a guard unit, and we trained very heavily both in the domestic mission and did a lot of local search and rescues, but never having deployed overseas to a wartime theater, that having all changed after 9/11 for these guard forces. And so, as Alyssa said, their fourth deployment, this is the medevac units out of Reno Stead's fifth combat deployment since 2001. And so the guard forces or reserve forces, as we traditionally know them, the Minuteman soldiers who have full-time jobs in our community, who as you think of, go once a month to their drills, mm-hmm. And then their annual trainings. Aviation's quite a bit more consumed because the pilots and the air crews have to maintain the same flight minimums and training as the active duty component. And so when we're in now the 19th or 20th year of the wars of the nation's longest war in history.
Yeah.
It's a heavy load that's put upon local families and local guard forces that aren't active duty and aren't living on full-time military bases traditionally. And I'll say
that's not really publicized.
Right. Right. And I'll say for the purposes of the story, within the medevac community or within the Army National Guard, you do have full-time employees and full-time technicians. As you're out in the Reno and Carson City area, you'll see out in the community at lunches and that type of thing, soldiers and airmen walk in uniform. So there are people that are full-time employed as civil service technicians at the Air National Guard base, the Army National Guard base instead, in Carson City and various cities throughout Nevada, that are full-time employees. We call them a dual role or a dual status technician. There are a couple of other scenarios that people are employed full-time by the Army, Army Guard Reserve Forces. But these full-time technicians are those who serve, and we see them in uniform every day. And they have to be a member of the National Guard and in a supporting unit to be able to fill those full-time civil service jobs. And so they are good employment and good jobs. And so there's kind of two types of soldiers we talk about today. One's the traditional, what we call M-Day soldier, which is has a civilian job out in the community and then attends his guard drills and attends those needs that the guard demands for domestic firefighting or medevac scenarios or rescue missions.
Well, and I don't think that a lot of people really understand that or think about that, because when you think about deployment, you think about our military. That's their job. That's where they go. Imagine my surprise when I call up my friend and I keep texting my friend Aaron, you know, this company works on my cars, and I get this response back. Oh, sorry, I didn't get back to you. I'm in Afghanistan. And it's like, oh, it's like, dang, I forgot. You know, it's,
well, that's like Alyssa's, that's like Alyssa's friends, you know, face a lot. Oh, Nigel's gone again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, just a description of those two types of soldiers, the Minuteman and then some that are employed full time here at the Guard, both join together and fulfill the needs of the unit and go off and support the wartime as they are now. So they departed September 5th for their fifth deployment combat tour in either Iraq or Afghanistan since 9/11. A different feeling and a different scenario and different thing happened this time. I have a son, Chief Warrant Officer Josh Groth, and my son-in-law, Captain Nigel Harrison, who's the commander of the medevac unit this time, going through his wartime deployment. They got a warning order about 2 years ago, I think the fall of 17, and got that. When a National Guard unit gets that warning order, then becomes an important train-up and a tempo schedule, really, that changes over time as the guard unit gets ready for its deployment. It's kind of thinking of, you know, shifting a, you know, a warfighting engine from first to sixth gear.
Yeah.
And they start in first gear, you know, 2 years back and continue to train up until they get 12 months out, 9 months out, 6 months out, and that tempo increases. And the different individual training schools that pilots or air crew members or medics go to, they'll be going to different courses and different classes that will take up their some of their time during this train-up period. Some of the soldiers get on full-time orders. You know, if the deployment's going to be 12 months, they get on orders 6 months before the deployment. So they've actually got an 18-month hitch going. And so when they do that, this train-up occurs. Well, along about 7 months out or 6 months out, 5 months out, that kind of time would put us in the March, April to ninth time frame. And and what happened?
Is that, how does that work for you? I mean, you know it's coming, but it's still...
Yeah, we do. We do. We knew it was coming. And I try to explain this to people that I've had 2 years to prepare for this. But it's like what my dad was just saying. This is my dad. I don't know if we made that connection. Is that you know it's coming, but you're not really focusing on it because you've got time. But yeah, come 6 months out. Like, we didn't tell our children until it was about 6 months out. A lot of families tell their kids earlier. We waited. So you do. You get closer and you just start mentally preparing yourself a little bit more. You prepare the house a little bit more. You prepare, you know, in all ways a little bit more. So that being said, that's why this kind of threw us all for a little bit of a loop, because our preparations were a little derailed.
Okay, so let's talk about what was that loop.
Well, along about the April or May timeframe, our adjutant general for the state of Nevada was General William Burks, and he was our adjutant general up until September here, just about a month ago. And many of you saw in the news, Brigadier General Andre Berry took over, seemingly a very good man. Just you know, the troops are excited to have him. And looking forward to kind of, you know, some fresh leadership came in September. So he came in at the tail end of this story that I'm going to tell. But about the April timeframe, there was apparently within the guard unit a complaint or a situation by a particular soldier that brought a complaint to one of to the facility out at Stead, which is called the Army Aviation Support Facility. And so we'll say AASF sometimes in our acronym, but it's the Aviation Support Facility instead. And there had apparently been a complaint from one of the full-time employees who was one of these dual status soldiers, a member of the medevac unit, that there was some harsh work environment or some mean things being said to this employee. And there may have been other employees that we don't know about. That's one thing about this issue is that we're not here to decide or to know all of the exact details or facts that may have occurred that bring a unit to a high state of morale, a high state of readiness, an excitement, and a zeal ready to fulfill their mission, or there are detractors from that, things that can take a unit down, you know, improper actions and things that can happen, bad training situations, mechanical failures, different issues that will come into play that will affect a family, a soldier's state of readiness and state of mind as they get, you know, 6-7 months out from this deployment, that they're going to be gone from their family for 12 months. Anyway, there was a complaint brought, and the Army Guard leadership at that time, led by Brigadier General Zachary Dozier, had brought to the Army Aviation Facility and to the unit and down to the unit, Zach Dozier and Colonel Corey Schultz had brought news through back down through the chain of command at the Army Aviation leadership instead. There's not just the medevac unit out there. There's the Chinook medium lift helicopter lift company and a fixed wing transport unit out there. So a lot of aviation assets, a lot of those full-time dual suit employees, as well as traditional M-Day guardsmen that go and drill there and train there. And what we noticed from family members was there was just a all of a sudden a whooshing stop about April 1st, 2019 for the training. And Melissa will bring you in to speed on what happened some out there. But really the overall picture to help our Nevadans know in this story and understanding is that here they were, about April of 2019, 18 months of training for the train-up for this Afghanistan deployment, and all of a sudden they were stopped from, say, fourth or fifth gear in that tempo in increase in training, and the unit was brought to a complete stop and halt in training so that, in our minds, this issue, this other complaint issue that was brought, here you have 29 soldiers deploying 55 soldiers in the unit. There's going to be two group deployments. One left September 5th. Another one is leaving next July, May to deploy. So you've got literally 18 to 20 months will be covered in Afghanistan in support of the active army and the effort over there. And so it was a real halt to the unit and a real blow to the morale of the unit to have this situation. And our argument or story here is really that the unit was defocused, demoralized, really hammered, and taken away from this operational tempo and training that they were doing so that all of a sudden the leadership could focus on this complaint. And this is that was brought to the guard. And this issue consumed the unit from the April 1st timeframe. Literally, we're talking 12 to 16 weeks, 18 weeks out, you know, and that's close for a deploying unit going to war. And their unit and their training was stopped so that they could defocus on this. And, you know, one of the titles of my story is Political Correctness Run Amok in the Military, is that we're a military, and I still, as a patriotic American, still believe that our mission of our military is to win wars and defeat the enemy primarily, and that everything else is tertiary. It comes behind that, and this was just simply not the case. The unit was defocused and brought to a halt, and then training continued slowly, where they went into an annual training about June 1st, about a three-week annual training. They had six aircraft up for flying, and the technicians and the pilots and the maintenance people told us there could be, you know, upwards of 300 hours available to us to fly. They flew 120 hours, not 300.
Wow.
The statistics were way down.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, stick around because we're going to continue this story with Jim Groth, military man. We'll just say that. And the spouse of one of our troops deployed. So please hang on for the kick in this story right after this on KKFT, The Monica Jay Show on 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It is the Monica Jay Show, also on 92.3 FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. Shoot me an email if you want at Monica at 991fmtalk.com. I know we have a lot of military, active and former military listening, because that's what we are here in Northern Nevada. This is a great place to retire, and we've got great units around us. And so my guests right now on the show today are Jim Groth, who is former Army National Guard?
Yes.
Yes. And the spouse of one of our deployed soldiers, who is Alyssa Harrison. Alyssa, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
In the last segment, you were talking about this complaint that has defocused our medevac unit that is currently serving in Afghanistan and should have been trained with complete focus on this mission. I don't know if this is accurate, but in my mind, I feel like people believe that the Army and the Air National Guard are to provide services when our military is overseas and they're the boys and the men and the women here at home. And they protect and serve. They go down to the border if we need them in natural disaster and things like that. But you go into war zones. You lay your life on the line to protect others, and especially with our air medevac unit here. You're the ones swooping in and picking up those soldiers who are injured or helping in dangerous situations. Alyssa, as a spouse, that takes so much to get the mental capacity ready. May I ask, what was the complaint?
So the complaint was basically a work-related complaint brought about by one soldier who had been in the working out there full-time, like my dad had mentioned, for about 6 months. And the complaint was basically a toxic environment. Some name calling had gone on, some things like that. But again, the thing to remember is this was a work related complaint.
So and if I complained about my producer cutting me off or calling me, you know, jokingly calling me a name down the line, or I hate to ask, but can I ask, was it a male or a female that made the complaint?
So it was a female, and we think that that was part of the reason why this was taken so quickly to the top. In the military, as like most, like you just talked about, if you had a complaint at work, you would take it to your supervisor. Your supervisor would do their best job to handle it. If they couldn't be handled, it would be taken to the next level. They would do their best. You wouldn't, as a low working employee at Southwest Gas, you wouldn't take it to the CEO of Southwest Gas.
Yeah, it's called the chain of command.
Exactly. You would try to work your way up. If it wasn't resolved, that wasn't really allowed to happen. That started with my husband. He was the commander, and he would have been the first go-to. And I witnessed this firsthand. Within about 48 hours, it was completely taken out of his hands and taken to the next level.
Wow,
and within about
hours.
72 hours, it was taken all the way to the top. So it was quick. It moved very quick.
Wow. Okay. Well, stick around, because we're going to talk about this and how it demoralized the unit who are in Afghanistan right now trying to save lives.